as long as he knows it.
I'm just waiting for Ann.
O'clock, we'll call to order the November meeting of the Curie Beach Planning and Zoning Commission. First item is approval of the agenda for tonight. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
Motion.
Second?
A second.
Okay. Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, third item is the approval of the minutes. Just take a couple minutes and look through the minutes from last time. It's in the packet.
I didn't find any corrections.
Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. Okay. Item number four, persons to address the commission. We do have an addressee, or addressor, I guess. We will be the addressees.
You guys have become so formal. I can remember when you used to just sit almost anywhere. Do I stand or...
Well, you actually no. Have to dance on the table right there and pass out candy.
Let's stand in the middle and, yeah.
He's been known to do that.
Okay, why don't I just sit, and if you guys can't hear me, maybe I can go and stand, because this is really very informal. Emily Swearingen, the new council person, and I have finance. You guys... That's worse for the town than it is for me, I assure you. Now, thanks to working with Arlen in here, it's going to be a very enjoyable job because he is such a fantastic young man to work with. And our committee has some terrific people on it. And they have, our committee has requested that this year for the budget process, we try to get the other committees and the departments to put together a strategic plan for at least 5 years. Now, someone like the fire department may want to go a little bit further and work on a 10-year plan. And this was originally a capital strategic plan so that in finance we can get an idea of if it's a big project like a new fire truck, in order to keep our fire rating, do we have enough money to, if we could get a grant, do we have enough money for the match? And if not, do we need to start saving toward that? Things like that. However, with some departments, say police, it may become more of a strategic plan for operations. depending on what all of the rest of you decide and the council, you know, ultimately decides is our vision for the future, is it something that would require more police protection or patrolling or whatever. Then there are some that may be a combination, such as parks and recs, where we need to be thinking of it more about what is our definite specific vision for the oceanfront park, for the park back here where disc golf is, what those things cost, specific deadlines for the items in there, and then how does that affect operations? Who's going to operate all that, and how it affects police, public works, and other departments. So I wanted you guys to be thinking about, well, not just thinking about, actually working on a strategic plan that involves anything you might be doing. And the thing I'm thinking about you guys specifically, because we no longer have an economic development committee, is something for the business district. And do we want to put the lines underground? Do we want to redo the facades? Do we want to build a giant pedestrian walkway from Dow Road to the beach? What, you know, what do you see? Or while you were doing the land use plan, you know, are there things that you see? What is your vision for the next 5 years that your committee might impact or have some sort of responsibility over? And are there some other committees that you might want to involve in that process? And we'd like to, the ideal thing would be to have this ready for the council's retreat in January. So it would be good if we could work on this month or next month. And you know, Craig, from doing these things at university, you could take a whole day, you could take an afternoon, depending on how extensive you think it would be. Maybe you can do it in 2 or 3 hours. I would be glad to help facilitate that. Or you could get one of the students to come in and help facilitate it, or if you know someone that might offer their services. I would not recommend that anyone on your committee be the facilitator, because it's not really fair to them. The facilitator is not supposed to be part of the decision-making process, but is just supposed to help you go through the roadmap and actually get there. So most of all, I'm asking, this has not gone before council yet to say you must do this. We're asking nicely first, would your committee consider putting together a 5-year strategic plan for the things that you might have an impact on or you are already involved in, including the business district? And I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Sure. I think a 5-year strategic plan is very good. In fact, we've kind of been talking about that for the last, you know, several years in the sense of form-based planning and vision and a lot of things like that. Just a little bit of a red flag of concern. It seems to me that if we're asking different groups to do strategic plan, it becomes kind of a hodgepodge of strategic plans that become overlapping and maybe conflicting and that sort of thing. Seems to me what might be maybe a more effective approach, at least I think from the committees, is to have some sort of a really nuts and bolts strategic planning session with the council, maybe with one or two representatives from the, from the committees that have a fairly specific agenda, and then kind of create a vision maybe for, and then once the vision is created, then you can kind of parsing out the, you know, if there's a, let's say a desire to make it more attractive, let's say in the business community, then we can create a kind of a sub plan for that. But you know, what I'm afraid of is that if we kind of take a strategic plan, we may go very, very broad to the point of.
Well, the reason why we started with the committees and the departments first is because I'm afraid of the council. Met and not knowing, frankly, a lot of us do not know what all the committees are doing all of the time and what they're thinking. We could meet for days, and I'm not sure we would get anywhere. If we could start with the committees presenting their ideas and then take it to the council with one or two people from each one of the departments or the committees and lay it out. These are the things we're thinking about, and let the council come up with an overall vision for the town. Because right now, I'm afraid they would, in their vision, they would leave something out. Because I think there's so much going on, they may not totally realize, okay, if we don't get a truck by a certain date for the fire department, everybody could, we could lose our fire rating and people's insurance would go back up. So I think those things need to be presented to the council first and let them come up with an overall vision for the town. Now, I'd be glad to take it to them and let them decide which way they would like to go.
I really think that, I think what Greg was saying too is this vision we've been asking the council really should start with the council. Not that if we need a fire truck, we need a fire truck. And that should be coming up through the council somehow, whether we have a vision or not, and the needs are there. But I think if we're talking 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, the council needs to say, you know, do we want to focus on B1? How much of the land use plan are we focusing on? And they're supposed to direct us, and then from there, we would put together our plan to meet that. Yes, we could all meet together, and it would be probably a lengthy process to try and come up with that vision, but even, we don't want to, one or two sentences. What do we see happening in the next 5 years that could affect this town? You know, no growth, that could affect us financially, so we want to focus on growth. How do we want to grow? We want to grow with creating a B1 district where people will come in and shop. See, those are the kinds of things we need, I think, from the council
so
to sort of direct us.
So you'd rather them present it to you rather than you give them advice on what's
Well, we can give them, we still can give them advice if we want to, but I think it should come from them.
Yeah,
I mean, we work with them.
We've actually done a number of studies that have, you know, identified what the B1 district should look like. You know, that's led into, in fact, is on the agenda tonight about form-based planning. You know, the idea that, you know, we're going to think about trying to create a form-based planning process so that any new development, hopefully, you know, you can amortize some of these things and get some of the old development to be architecturally more consistent with what we want the vision of the town to be. The problem that we're struggling with, and I think have been struggling, is that there's been a number of studies that have kind of a vision created in some architectural design. We've been trying to implement sign ordinances and, you know, recommending some architectural characteristics and so forth, and, you know, really haven't gotten as far as perhaps we should with some of that stuff because of some council issues. In addition, I mean, some basic things like, do we want the B1 district to be primarily directed towards the people that live here, the residential community, and provide services for the residential community here? Do we want the B1 district to be primarily grabbing tourists coming back and forth between Fort Fisher? Do we want to have a balance between those two? Depending on what the vision for the community is, that's going to determine a lot of what we would do. We would probably recommend different things in terms of some of the form-based planning if it's primarily residential community, the B1 district serves that residential community versus trying to be a large tourist community where we're trying to pull people in from, you know, the surrounding states and so forth. I'm just concerned that we've had a number of land use plan studies, we have a number of architectural form-based studies, we've suggested a lot of stuff, and we really don't know what the council's kind of two-line vision for the community is yet. And we certainly asked for it, I think.
Well, I think also the council did direct us to use the John Sawyer.
Right. We've been directed to use the Sawyer.
We've been directed to start implementing that. And the first thing that we did on that was the power lines.
Yeah.
And we did a lot of research. John did a lot of research, found, you know, Brunswick County communities. They buried all of those power lines. That was all brought to council. And
never heard anything else back on
it. Being done.
Right.
I mean, we can't.
It was stopped at the council, basically, that the council didn't want to talk about it anymore. The second component of the study is the sign ordinances that we brought, because clearly the sign ordinances, I mean, when you look at what these studies suggest, I mean, it's a very form-based type of look. You don't have a lot of large signs out there. You don't have digital signs. You don't have a lot of the things that, you know, possibly we have here. So we've been fairly aggressive, I think, at looking at the sign ordinances. Probably 80% of it has been implemented, and we're still trying to struggle with the remaining 20% in terms of size and amortization and so forth. So there is kind of a vision that's already been in place that we've been charged with. And
I mean, the B1 study has a vision.
Yeah, the B1 study has a vision about what we're trying to do, and we've been charged that that is our vision. And that's why on the agenda tonight we have the zoning overlay district and form-based planning, because I think the council approved us to act as a committee. I'm not sure, but you know, I think they approved us to act as a committee. So the next step is, yeah, we're going to create a game plan to implement the B1 study.
Basically. And then the point that comes back is every time we try to implement something,
then five
we essentially get stopped in our tracks, and we have to go back to the planning board. So every step that's made, we're still under...
at a starting point.
Exactly. The council still says yes or no. Like, you know...
Four business people show up here and start throwing their arms around, and all of a sudden everything gets tabled. I mean, it's hard to kind of move forward with that sort of response.
Because
okay, we're looking now. Let me clarify a little bit on this, because you guys are working with more of an overall vision for the whole town. The finance department is trying to get a handle on what our expenses are going to be over the next 5 years. Okay, let's take the sign ordinance, for example, that may help to improve the town aesthetically.
There's no expense to that.
Yes,
there's
a
price. Okay. Well, we're talking about things that there might be a price attached, such as putting blinds under. Did you come up with a price?
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
we've
got prices.
We have Progress Energy come in, and we...
And what was that price?
It was $1 million... I'd have to look back at our notes.
I mean, we were told...
But it was grants that got from other local beach communities that was never explored, I'll say.
Okay. What the finance area is looking at most of all is not the details, the land use plan, redoing the business district plan, but rather those items in the things you've already worked on that we could do in the next 5 years, and what the price tag is on that. So, as far as you know, council has not discussed, they just refused to discuss it, or...
Well, I personally have discussed it many times.
But the council has.
But as a whole, and just like you were there at the last council meeting, and the sign issue almost got thrown in the crapper again.
But I'm talking about...
You remember? That's what they're up against.
Okay, but
Emily, you've got to understand.
Pardon? I'm talking about putting the lines...
All we can do is make suggestions. We can't spend the town's money. Only the council can do that.
Right.
So
they have to know how much we're talking about.
But we've been there.
Is that the reason why they...
The council should know.
No, well, the problem is, okay, this is the whole scenario.
Okay.
Progress Energy came and said, I think they told us it was $30,000 just to do an engineer study if it was feasible to put power lines in the ground.
Okay.
They said they have to do at least a 1,200-foot block or something, 1,200 feet. They gave us some requirements. And then John, but Progress Energy is not, they don't want to put power lines on the ground. They kind of discourage you from doing that. It's expensive, and they're a utility.
I think you said around
$600 a foot. It was $600 a foot per line or something, and it wasn't the $1 million
and that mile. That was just the power. You've got the
cable
and the telephone and all the other lines that are up there.
Okay. Basically, when they came and did that presentation, after that, we knew that there were some underground power lines, we knew that there's power lines being put underground in Brunswick County beaches. So I started calling Brunswick County. Called every beach south of us in Brunswick County, and the information that I got was that Brunswick Power and Light procured grants from FEMA mitigation funds to bury these power lines. The town had to match some of that money. The cost was not even close to to what Progress Energy was quoting us. And when I asked the town managers of those beaches, you know, what spurred this on, who was spearheading this operation to Brunswick Power and Light the whole time. And the reason why is because it's a private company. And, you know, when you ask Progress Energy about it, they're a publicly traded company, and you know, that's how they make their money. So that's kind of where we stopped right there. We brought that information to council, and once they heard that, that was pretty much the end of it.
And then we tried to piggyback, if I remember, because I did the research way back then. We tried to piggyback on what Carolina Beach was doing, thinking if we worked with them when they were doing the study, they did it all at one time, maybe it would be more of a cost reduction. And Carolina Beach said it was extremely difficult and extremely expensive when I spoke with the town manager there. And we brought that information back to town council.
And we also brought other information to the council. It was, you know, during the when Progress Energy was here, you know, Tim Fuller was big on any of the transformers that are up top have to be put down on the ground. Where do you do that in the B1? And Progress Energy said, you know, I asked questions about can we remotely set transformers. They said yes. I brought that to the Oceanfront Park Committee. Said, well, we do this building, probably need to pull it off the property lines because that'd be the perfect place to put transformers if we ever bury power lines. It's our property. We can put transformers back there. You won't see them. They'll be hidden behind the building. But all the information that goes to council, I don't know why a council wouldn't step up and say, okay, let's get together with Carolina Beach and any other and research in any other town that wants to bury power lines with Progress Energy and put them under pressure and try to come up with something. You don't just table it and leave it there and say, oh, Progress Energy doesn't want to do it. They're not going to work with us. Well, the Southern Beaches just did. I know they're a co-op. I know they're different.
The
but
Southern Beaches, did they also bury the lines?
Yes, ma'am, they did. In fact, when they started doing that about 5 or 6 years ago, I brought it up, and that was before I was on the council, and I've been trying to keep bringing it up. Mm-hmm. And just like I said at the meeting, I don't think it's likely that we'd be getting any funds from Progress Energy since their attitude towards bearing the power lines is not very good.
I think if you look at the minutes that we actually, in fact, I made the presentation with John, is that we came in and we actually, John called the Southern Beaches. I talked to the folks in Wrightsville Beach. You talked to the folks in Carolina Beach. We heard the presentation from Progress Energy. And we actually came up with a recommendation. There's two costs. One is the initial engineering study. And I think we got $30,000 to $50,000 as a quote. But that was if they were going to do it. And we're not obligated to use them. And so we had come up, I think, with four different recommendations. One being Progress Energy, some contractors, and so forth. And that's actually in the minutes in terms of the report. That would be the first cost, is having an engineering study done, which will then define what the total cost would be, you know, to do this. And then that would be the second component of the cost, because we've heard everything from an extraordinarily high cost per linear foot from Progress Energy to a substantially lower cost from the Southern Beaches. So we don't really know what the cost is until that engineering study is done. But I think that you'd find that that report was really put into the minutes and done probably two or three council meetings ago. The only other cost that I would say that has come out of our discussions is possibly, as we go forward to look at the form-based planning, you know, we can do a lot of stuff in terms of what we really think it would look like, the ordinance, but someone's got probably a professional consultant would have to pull that together into a nice, clean-looking ordinance that could be presented to the council, and there would be some consulting costs to that. Personally, I can't think of anything else that we've looked at or are thinking about recommending that actually has a capital cost or some sort of expense associated with it. I could be wrong, but
that's our budget. Form-based might have a little bit if we hire a consultant.
Yeah, the consultant would be there, and the engineering study, but I can't think of anything else, because most of what we do in terms of making recommendations for signed ordinances and you know, what we may look at tonight, which is the SIC codes and things like that. I mean, there's not really a cost associated. We think there's a tremendous benefit, but there's no cost associated with it, you know, to the town. I don't know, does anybody else have a... I mean, we could certainly come up with a strategic plan, but I think it would probably be pretty much what we've just already described in terms of cost.
Any cost that would come from us would be if we hire consultants or architects or somebody to come in and help us. Mm-hmm. That would be it. And, you know, it could be in the range $30,000-$50,000 you could spend for somebody
legal.
To do that.
For the, yeah. for the legal, for the yeah. for the form-based planning stuff, and then the engineering study. I mean, those are the real...
potential.
And those are all based upon the B1 study that was done. I mean, we're trying to implement the B1 study because we were charged with that by the council. And these are two clear things that get us started, you know, the sign ordinances and bearing the power line. And then after that becomes a much more complicated process of putting together form-based planning, and that would be the consultant associated with that.
In our June meeting of this past year, Progress Energy estimated cost of doing a feasibility study at exactly $30,000,
right.
as Alan stated right there. And we also mentioned Lee Electric, Elliott Electric, and then Mayor Lamberth had given commission members a letter from Big Woods Engineering.
Right. So those are the four.
Some other stuff for...
And so, you know, going out for a bid to do an engineering study on bearing the power lines. And it does seem like it would be more of a cost-sharing benefit to get together with Carolina Beach and have an engineering study done, shared by both.
They've already done the study?
I think they started the process and they were put on hold as well. Okay. And again, it was Tim Owens that I spoke with.
Okay. Who did you speak with in Wrightsville Beach?
I talked with Lori Rosebrook, who's the chairman of the planning commission there.
I really think, I mean, kind of what council was, I think, getting at was, they've been talking about power lines for years.
Mm-hmm.
No one's ever gotten any hard numbers. Let's either go forward with it or put it to bed. Is it too expensive to do? Then it's pie in the sky. Mm-hmm. We can't do it. Or can we move forward with it? And we've tried to put together as much information as we could for them.
Right.
But
And we formally presented it to the council, too.
Right. I don't think it's pie. I think it's going to be real expensive. And maybe it takes 20 years to do it. But I think it could possibly be done.
And that was in our June minutes, if you wanted to.
So it would have been presented probably at the July, either the June or July meeting.
It was in the June minutes.
In our June minutes, but I presented it in the following to the council.
There's the priority three, the actual feasibility study, $30,000.
Right now, any new projects, any new housing developments to go in Progress Energy wants all those power lines. That's what they do. And when I talked to the Brother County Beaches, I tried to figure out where the actual FEMA grants were coming from or what were the names of them, where could I get in contact with some of those people. And every time manager told me to call the CEO of Brunswick Power and Light to find out about it, they were the ones that were pushing ahead on it. And so I left several messages for him and his second in command up there to find out about it. I've never gotten a call back.
And as far as the planning and zoning budget, as long as I can remember, we've been budgeted about $200 a year. So
that's usually for the party at the end of the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it needs to go up a little higher.
I think I actually got y'all in there about $2,000.
Okay.
Well, now we got a raise in it, don't we?
We can go to Las Vegas.
The cost of shrimp is going up. Yeah.
We pay Josie out of that.
No, but I really think that before anything is done, I think even before we apply for grants, which I think is obviously where a lot of the funding would have to come from, I think the engineering study has to be done. An engineer has got to come here, figure out what the cost is. We've already identified actually the area. You know, I think when you look in the minutes that we've actually identified the area that would be the initial area that we would recommend in the B1 district that this be done in.
Process,
so it's... And then I think the only other cost that we would be recommending is somewhere along the line that there would have to be a consultant legal process to fine-tune any sort of form-based planning ordinance that we may want to put together, because that's going to be a fairly radical change if we do something like that.
Did you guys ever discuss getting involved in the Main Street?
Yeah, we talked about that several years ago.
When Michelle was here.
Yeah, when Michelle, she was very big on the Main Street.
What did you decide on that?
I think there was, I'm trying to remember back, because we had a couple conversations about that with her. I believe that she was hoping to pursue that, to make application. You know, that has some obligations associated with it, in terms of expectation. And of course, Main Street USA supports the sign ordinances and all the things that we're trying to do. That's exactly what they're trying to push, in this sort of stuff. But I don't think we went to the point of actually submitting an application.
So, and you guys never visited one of those small towns that are part of the small town Main Street, Wendell?
I think when Michelle left, that was kind of dropped in terms of what we were doing.
Well, they did. When I was on economic development, they did. Someone came in and did a presentation on Main Street.
They did. How did you feel about it?
I thought it was, and at that time, I think they were pushing. They said the deadline was coming up for the application. There's deadlines for the whatever.
Mm-hmm. Probably once a year.
I think it's once a year, every 2 years, or something. One was coming up. But it was interesting. I thought it was, it opens up doors for grants and different things, but it's like everything else. The Economic Development Committee went south, too.
Yeah.
They had a lot of presentations. We had form-based zoning presentations in economic development. There were a lot of good presentations done there. Hotel presentations, a lot of stuff that was real interesting.
And it seems like the grants for the power line development were in November, if I remember. So when those grants come up for... Was it November?
One of the things is, as we're kind of talking, this may be more effective than actually putting up together a strategic plan, is I don't know, there used to be a process of having people tasks with keeping track of what grants were popping up. And I'm not sure if there's anybody at the town tasked with that responsibility right now. But it seems to me that would be a critically important thing in terms of some of the stuff we're talking about. These grants pop up all the time. Sometimes they're very short periods of time. Sometimes you're noticed for about a year on these things. But it seems to me there should be a constant monitoring of the various grant sites. And again, there are web sites that kind of consolidate all that stuff, so it's really not that hard to monitor what's out there. It's just someone's got to sit down and maybe spend an hour a week to do that, to see what's coming up, and then decide, is it something that we want to pursue? Is there any sort of matching or in-kind type of stuff? But I don't think there's anybody doing that right now.
No, there isn't.
I would like to say one thing about our budget. I don't throw out a lot of compliments, and I don't want to give John a big head, but he's actually done pretty well with keeping our attorney Holt from, if he's not needed, he doesn't come, and which I never realized that I thought he was on retainer. I didn't know if we paid him per visit and travel time. So
I think we had to pay for that deer too. That
I know,
he had on the way here.
But
we did.
We did.
Yeah.
And we didn't get any of the medicine.
He's not needed, he doesn't come.
I think we might have summarized our strategic plan right here from a capital expenditure point of view.
Well,
not from a vision, but a capital expenditure point of view.
Standpoint, it really sounds like you guys have already I haven't been involved with your PNC for several years now. And so I haven't followed you and what you've done and what you haven't done, except for because I stopped coming to council meetings. But,
welcome back.
Yeah. So, it sounds like you've been doing a lot of things that other people need to be doing. Use what you've already done.
I think we would like to have the council maybe vote and approve the things we bring to them. I think that would be good for the town and good for our morale.
Well, not just table them and forget about them,
Yeah, they ask us to do something and then we go ahead and do it and move on. It
sounds like another committee.
We're ready.
Thank you.
Thanks
for letting me take your time.
Which committee would you be referring to, Ms. Emily?
That's all right.
But thank you for letting me take your time.
You're going to sit through the rest, huh?
Well, you told me that the sign ordinance thing is the most exciting thing going on.
We need to stay.
Yeah, exactly.
We need to get that approved. There's some big problems if we don't get that approved, because right now we could have a bunch of 35-foot signs out there and billboards, basically, if we do not approve this thing.
How many, besides the people, besides the business person that's on the board, how many other business people do we have here?
No. And I have to say, when the four people showed up and waved their hands and jumped up and down and accused us of being unprofessional and everything like that,
ridiculous.
Most of what they were complaining about is already in the ordinance.
Yes.
Okay. The only thing that we brought before the council this time was simply an amortization and a height and size. That's all. Yep. All the other stuff that they were throwing their arms around and screaming about is already part of the ordinance. It wasn't part of what was brought to the council. I'm not even sure the council understood that.
Yeah. And so, some of it was one of the old ones.
It's been around for 20 years. So we got blamed for it. So. And it's a good ordinance. So. Anyway, that's a separate issue. Okay. Anybody else out there wants to talk to the sign ordinance? Nope. All right. Old business. Last time we talked about the SIC code review and identify those that were permitted and prohibited, and identify those permitted as either special use or conditional use. The interest there is that we have a just for your benefit, is that we have a zoning process or a use process that's driven by industry definition, by SIC codes. And as you kind of look at these sort of things, we've had a number of things come up in the past. One is the internet gaming issues of whether that could be prohibited through the zoning process, as to whether it was in an excluded SIC code or something like that. Other issues had to do with whether you can have multiple uses in the same site. So if you have like a retail, can you also have manufacturing within the same site, whether that's allowable under the code right now. And then there were some things that we didn't want to have in there. For example, it's not in there right now, but up until about 2 years ago, you could have used car lots and that sort of thing. So there was some interest in revisiting the SIC codes and seeing if there's some language that could be put in there to clarify it, and whether there's any industries that we don't want to have, or we want to specifically, and this is kind of the key thing, we do have a special use permit, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have a special use permit, and so most zoning processes that use SIC code identify certain industries that require special use permits. For example, you might have allow a movie theater. That's an allowable use, but you may want to have a special use permit so that if the council allows a movie theater to be built, maybe you want to have it where the last showing could be only at midnight, because you don't want to have showings at 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock because of lighting and people leaving and stuff like that. So anyway, those are kind of the issues we were looking at, whether to identify certain industries that you want to have requiring a special use permit versus just allowing the use to go in, and whether we wanted to just simply eliminate possibly as not allowable other industries. And that's kind of where we're at. And again, I plead ignorant because I was actually given the wrong code book last time, but I do have a good one here.
Yeah,
so.
Complete one now.
Well, no, I got John's. So they still haven't put mine together yet.
Oh, okay.
So is there any further discussion on this? Or
well, I looked through it, and I found a few interesting things as we went through. But, you know, like in RA2 and RA2A, it permits dressmaking, laundering, home cooking, and preserving.
What page are you on?
Customary home occupation.
120.
I'm on 12, page 1222. That's where I am. There's a couple of areas where it points that out. Customary home occupancies. I guess there's nothing wrong with it. Do we have to be that specific? I guess you can have a dressmaker. You can teach music, you can do preserving in your home cooking, laundering. not beauty parlors. So I, when I saw that, it just specifically, I just said, well, I don't know. Is that something that has to be put in? You know, I'm going to launder my home no matter what.
Is it because there's colleges and schools and public libraries that are allowed there too?
Yeah. I mean, home occupation could be any number of things.
Yeah. Know?
Well, the churches and schools aren't in the home. That's a different category. This would be allowed in an RA2 residential district.
Yeah, there are a couple places where we have churches. I don't know. I questioned that. I picked up a few others like that. There's hospitals in here. There's two codes where you could build a hospital. I don't know if anyone would want to. A bus terminal.
Well, that should certainly be a special use permit. I mean, this is exactly where you want to put that little S by a hospital.
There's a bus terminal under B1 district. Somebody could put a bus terminal in. So, do we want to question any of those or not, I guess? There's just a few that I thought. Leave them in, or do we want a special use permit or something for some of those? If you want me to go back over those specifically, but I just found those. The bus terminal was in the B1 district.
Well, I think the RA2 is, I think they're adding those things. I think they added those things because there is other businesses allowed. Dentists, doctors, engineers, lawyers, architects. But because then you go to the RA2A, and that's strictly residential.
By the way, do we still have a B4?
Yeah.
Is there still a B4?
There's one little spot up there at the beginning.
Yeah, that's the corrosion. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Actually, there's something on the left. It's turning on Curie Beach Village, I believe.
Well, that's still there, yeah.
That's all I did. There were a couple of things. I don't know if we want to discuss those or just leave them in there. Oh, there is one for laboratory.
That's the B4, yeah.
I'm not sure we were talking about the actual districts. Weren't we talking about the zoning classifications right there?
Yeah, I'm trying to find the B1. There it is.
It's in the very front.
Oh, here it is. Okay.
Yeah, B1 should be the first one.
No, I think what we were talking about is if you look at page 1233, and this is just in the B1 district, which is obviously the most allowable in terms of these sort of things. Mm-hmm. You look down those SIC codes, and since we have a special use permit, one question is, are there certain SIC codes where we want to put a little S by it? Where they say that, yes, it's an allowable use, but they have to get a special use permit approved by the council. And other things, you can simply say no. You know, I would say...
For instance, number 14 has the S there for parking lots.
Right, S for parking lots. But do we want to have service stations that require an S? And when you look at all the retail stores not otherwise listed, and yeah, I mean, that's actually a pretty big list. Mm-hmm. Or arcades, I would say, given the issue of the arcade issue, I would say arcade should have an S. It doesn't mean that it's not allowable, it's just that a special use permit is required where if somebody were to come with an arcade, the council could say, as part of the special use permit, yes, you can have an arcade there, but you cannot have internet gaming machines as part of that special use permit. And if you do, then we can withdraw the special use permit and shut you down. So, because right now, since internet gaming is allowed under SIC code 7993, you can't restrict that from a zoning point of view. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I thought there was a discussion about hazard and service stations at one point.
Well, there used to be auto repair, I think, and we took that out.
You took that one out.
We encouraged a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did at one point.
That was the one I was getting really excited about last time until I realized I had an old book. Yeah. So I think you've probably purged all the ones that really shouldn't be allowed. So I think to me, the only real question is, are there other ones in here that we want to require a special use permit?
I'm thinking the bus terminal. I mean, I think of a bus terminal, I think of big buses and a terminal, but, maybe what that means in S5, because if somebody, if it's going to be a trolley stop with tourists, then we should allow that. If
most
someone wants
definitely
to build a little building and call it a trolley stop, then that could be considered a bus terminal.
I mean, that would be a great vision for the Oceanfront Park to have a trolley stop there, and that would be considered.
So I don't think I'd want to purge bus terminal. I think I'd maybe want to make it a special use so that if it was a trolley stop, it could be done. Or a bus stop.
But going back to our last meeting, didn't we talk about doing another industry classification code versus the SIC?
Yeah.
So are we doing something right here that we're going to change shortly again?
Well, that's what's called the NAICS code. The NAICS code.
Right.
The SIC code is an old code system. The NAICS is a newer code. It's basically a one-to-one mapping. So what I would suggest is that, rather than trying to change this to NAICS, that we can kind of get agreement as to what is, based on the SIC codes we already have, which we should, do we want to eliminate ones, add new ones, put special use permits. And once we get agreement on that, then it's a pretty simple matter to map, to simply change these to the new NAICS code.
You think it's easier to change these first versus...
I would say let's decide these, because service stations, there's an NAICS code for service stations. It's a one-to-one map into this. So, before we get bogged down in the NAICS code, I'd say let's just go ahead and look at the SIC code and see if there's anything we want to change here.
So you're saying that, like, on retail stores, all of those other ones that are listed in the...
Well, I was just going through the list here, and 5251 is hardware stores. 5261 is retail nurseries, lawn, and garden supply stores. 5912, drug stores. 5921 is, there you go, liquor stores. Now, personally, I would say 5921 is one that we ought to look at least require a special use permit for a liquor store.
Well, I'm thinking we should put it in bold print.
This would be ABC stores. So the ABC store is a 5921. Right now, they could come in and put in an ABC store without getting any additional approval from the council.
Well, the state could probably do that anyway.
I'm not sure if they could. I mean, if we were to prohibit it, I'm not sure if they could from a zoning perspective.
I think the state rules override town rules, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. The property next door to me is for sale. They could put it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
John, I don't...
We can't come in here and tell us we're changing our zoning.
No, I don't think we can.
No.
No, federal government.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the state can't come in here and put an ABC store next to my house, because of zoning issues. So, we could prohibit that.
It's not going to happen anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's... there's some things that we always took for granted that wouldn't ever happen in our town anyway. Be it right or wrong, that's where
we just got a brand new one at Carolina Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice.
And then let's see, you have used merchandise stores, sporting goods stores, bookstores, stationery stores, jewelry stores, hobby toy and game shops, gift, novelty, and souvenir shops, luggage and leather goods, sewing, needlework, piece goods, catalog and mail order, florist, tobacco stands, and optical goods. So when you look at item number 18, all those retail stores not otherwise listed. The only one I would say is kind of one that we may want to put an S by would be the liquor store one.
And then I'll just say bus terminal also.
Okay. That.
Yeah.
Which one was that?
Bus terminal is 4.
Okay, number 4. I would say arcades, which would be number 19.
What number is the liquor store?
Liquor store is 5921, I think it was.
Yes.
185921.
What about retail stores not otherwise listed?
That'd be the liquor store, 5921.
Oh, really?
Actually, that's pretty poorly written right there. The way I read it is that retail stores would be the SIC codes, but I guess you could read it that if it's not listed there, you can put it in.
That would be a good place to live. That would cover,
all
and stuff like that.
So we'd just do all retail stores, or yeah. Special use.
Unless it's a gas station.
Yeah.
It says big stores, plain and simple, up there, number 11.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would have a problem with, just a general merchandise store going in. I mean, the only one of that list there under 18 that I think is real questionable is 5921, which is liquor stores. I honestly think number 20, theaters, most zoning rules that I have seen require special use permits from theaters for a couple reasons. One is... you probably want to restrict the...